Good morning, church. Great to see you again. It's another Sunday morning. It's another beautiful Sunday morning here in the northeast of Scotland. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. We are live again this morning. It's really good to be here and good to have many people joining with us already. I'm seeing comments coming through and people are already with us. So that's really good. We're still broadcasting live, not yet available to get into our building, but we're still able to meet together, come together, gather around the Word, and encourage each other to and our walk with the Lord. So it's wonderful to see a number of you joining already. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture to start, then we will look at the Word. We'll have the message, we'll receive an offering, and we'll take communion together. So welcome, if you're just joining us, welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship, our Sunday service here, live on YouTube. You'll see I've not got my boards behind me, so hopefully we'll have an undisturbed morning, an undisturbed communion today. Great to chat to everyone about that. So glad that I was able to give you a little laugh last week. So hopefully we won't have that this morning during communion. So let's pray. Father, I thank you that we're here. Thank you that we're in this place of togetherness to worship you, Father. Even though we're not together in the flesh, I thank you that we have the unity in spirit. We are one with you, Father. Thank you for the institution that is called the local church. Thank you that it is your vehicle for moving on this earth. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters that are joining this morning and that will watch in the future. I thank you for every single one of them. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your indwelling Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power within us. Thank you for the trust that you have put in us to be your vehicle on this earth, Father. We love you, we praise you, and we look forward to being blessed this morning by your word. In his name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I wanted to start by reading a psalm, and it's Psalm 1, and it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Amen. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful, exciting passage of Scripture. It tells us that we can prosper in anything that we do. There's this picture of the tree being fed and watered by the river, his leaves not withering and his fruit being produced. And that can be our lives if we're in the Word day and night, if we eat it and understand it and live by it. That can be your experience, my friends. That can be our experience, living a life of health and prosperity through the understanding of what Jesus has done for us, through the understanding of our identity in Christ and who we are in Christ, an understanding of what we have under the new covenant. Awesome passage of Scripture. Amen. So if you've just joined, welcome. We're about to start looking at the Word. We're going to get into the message. So let me pray for this Word. You may wonder why I pray the same prayer every week. It's not a tradition. But the Word tells us that it is a seed and it's planted in our hearts. And the Word tells us that we need to understand this seed so that it's not stolen away. So I just pray for understanding. Pray that the seed's not stolen. And then pray that it produces fruit. Because that's what we all want in our lives. So that's why we do that. That's why I do that every time I preach or study the Word. And I would recommend that you do that as well. Every time you go to read the Word, pray for understanding. Pray for that seed to be understood. Pray for that seed to grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the truths that we find in your word. Thank you that it's described as an incorruptible seed. Thank you that it is perfect. And thank you that we can sow that seed in our hearts anytime we wish. Thank you that we're about to sow some seeds into our heart this morning. I speak out understanding for everyone listening right now and in the future. Understanding so that these seeds germinate, grow, that they're not stolen away in the first place, that they can then germinate and grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's get into the word. Amen. So, I have been looking at James 4, verse 7 for the last couple of weeks. I plan to finish that brief study today. It's a wonderful wee verse that if we understand and obey, yes, if we obey it, because this is a choice. We have a choice here. We can choose to submit and resist, or we can choose to not bother. So it's a choice that we have to choose to obey this passage of the word. But if we understand it and we obey it, if we choose to follow it, we will see change for good in our lives. And every one of us will have an opportunity to live out this verse sometime in our lives. You see, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where the enemy is trying to steal and to kill and to destroy. We're living in a world where the enemy is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. Now, I don't say that to scare you, but I say it to inform you. And I'm also telling you that you can defeat this enemy. We can make him flee. That's what this passage is all about. That's what my last two messages have been about, and that's what I hope this final message in this wee mini-series will be about as well. So what does it say? What does James 4, 6 and 7 say? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not may flee from you, not might flee from you, not flee from you half the time, but submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. The first week, I spoke about how we needed to know the true nature of God. We need to know what to submit to. I spoke about health and prosperity. And we need to know what to resist, sickness and poverty. And many of us don't really understand the true nature of God, therefore don't understand what's from him and what's from the enemy. So we need first to get that right. We need to know what to submit to and what to resist. And last week I spoke mainly from verse 6 about our need for humility. Humility, remember that definition? The quality of having a mindset or low view of one's own importance in relation to that of God's importance. I was having a wonderful conversation with a sister yesterday, and we were talking about this. And it's not that we don't speak out about what we're good at and what our skills are. It's not that we take pride in those, but we know what we're good at, we speak it out, we do it, but always with our understanding that it's with what we've been given from God. It's what he's given us that's important. And he's more important than us. His plans are more important than ours. His vision more important than ours. His views, his doctrines more important than ours. And I love that definition. It's not about weakness, but it's about strength, because you have to be strong in the attitude that God knows best. It goes against our culture. And it's talking about how we should look to God's plans, God's visions, and be teachable. Amen. Well, today I want to finish this wee study in James 4, 7 and look at how to submit and how to resist and what do we do? Now, I'm not going to give you a 3 or 4 or 5 step plan or step model to follow. I'm always kind of wary when I see that in Christian literature. The four-step model to this, the five-step model to that. There's so many methods and models in the Word that we need to study them all out. There's no one set way of doing things. But what I'm going to tell you today is a couple of tips that I think could be important for you and give you a couple of wee examples that shows you this submission and this resistance in action and that I hope you can learn from and be blessed by. So what can we do and how do we do it? Well, whatever we do, whatever we have to do, we do it from a state of belief and a state of faith. Look with me at John 6. Which initially might, these verses I'm going to look at, initially might not seem to be anything about submission and resistance. But look at John 6, verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? What do we have to do? What are the works that as believers we need to do? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. This is the work that God wants you to do, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Who did God send? Who did God send? He sent Jesus Christ. So we need to believe on Jesus. This passage can be used in so many different circumstances, so many different places. What are the works we have to do? The works you have to do is believe on Jesus, who he was, who he is, what he did for us, who we are in Christ. Bottom line, if we want to live out James 4:7, it is a matter of faith and belief in Jesus Christ. That's what we need. Do we believe what the Word says about Jesus, or do we believe what our body says? Say, for instance, if we are unsure if God has already healed everyone through the finished work of Jesus, and we have all the healing we will ever need in our born-again spirit, if we are unsure about that, it will be less likely that we'll see that healing manifest in our bodies. Can you see that? You have a much less chance of experiencing something if you don't believe it, or if you are unsure about it. I mean, if you don't believe it, you're just nae going to see it. But if you're unsure, if you're double-minded, well, there's going to be problems there as well. Our number one job is not to submit and resist. Our number one job is to believe on him whom he hath sent, and that's Jesus Christ, who he was, what he's done, what we are through him. And as we live that out, that makes submitting to God and resisting the enemy a whole lot easier. Amen. So the first thing we need to do then is to exercise our muscle of faith or our muscle of belief. Now notice I didn't say get more faith. We have the measure of faith and we have the faith of Christ. The key is not getting more. The key is how we use it and how we operate in it. Faith is like a muscle. It's always there. Not much there, to be honest, but it is there. Now, if I was to exercise that and do my pull-ups or whatever you call them, that muscle would get a lot bigger and a lot stronger. Faith is like a muscle. It is there, but the more you use it, the stronger it gets in our lives. So here's my first tip. Start on something small. Start on something that almost seems insignificant. You know, let's say in the terms of in healing, it's going to be a lot easier, in my opinion, to start working on a headache than on a chronic disease you've had for 40 years. Start on something small. Exercise your faith. Exercise that muscle of faith. If you're lacking in the area of resources, have faith for something relatively inexpensive. First, didn't I go for the 4-bedroom house straight away? Start working on something smaller, amen. Have faith for something smaller and see that and move on to something bigger and bigger. See where I'm going? Next tip, and this is the most important one. Most important lesson for today. Do not be passive. James 4:7 is not a passive verse. It is an assertive verse. It is an active verse. Go back with me to Matthew 11. Jesus speaking. And let's just jump right in, read verse 12. Jesus saying, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." What are the things of the kingdom? Well, I see part of this as being what Jesus provided for us on the cross: health and wholeness and acceptance and adoption and prosperity, abundance, joy and peace. Now, all those things. Now, I think this verse says that these things, the things of the kingdom, don't just fall onto our laps. It says the violent take them by force. And in this context, violence is not a bad thing. In the Greek, that word, the violent, means to be a forcer, to force something, someone who forces, to be energetic, to be violent. That says nothing about passivity. It's all about action and being assertive. And to take by force means to seize. Now, when I was meditating on this, the first thought that came to me was, if you seize something, or if you can seize something, it must first be there. Can you see that? So, for example, if we're trying to seize healing, well, healing needs to be there. And it is. It's a done deal. And that's back to faith and belief, or a lack of unbelief in this area of the doctrine of healing. It's already there. Prosperity is already there. We need to seize it. We need to grab it. And we need to use force if necessary. We need to push and push and push and force that. That's what being violent and taking it by force is. And that speaks to me of submitting to God and resisting the enemy. Especially resisting the enemy. I mean, do that with force. Amen. Let me give you a great example of that. A few years ago, my sister-in-law, Anne, had a wee accident on our hoverboard thing. It suddenly stopped, but Zanny didn't. Went flying forward onto the tarmac, put her arms out to protect herself, and of course, what happened? She broke both her arms. Now, the next day, she'd gone to hospital, got it sorted out, and then went into work the next day. And that day, I was having a day off, but Nunsy phoned me. He says, "You need to come back. You need to come back and pray with me and Zan. We've got a bit of a problem." So went back to the shop, and what I found was two very angry ladies. I mean, very angry. Angry at the devil. Angry at what he was trying to steal from them. You see, Nunsy and Zan are in business, and they need to use their arms to work in the shop and operate their sewing machines and all their equipment. And they were angry at these broken limbs, angry at the blessings of their business being stolen from them. Because Zanny, looking at her, Zanny couldn't work. So, two angry women. And Zanny started to resist the pain, resist that lack of movement. And she started to do things that should have been and seemed impossible, moving her arms, trying to work, etc. And by the Thursday night in Bible study, she was putting her arms above her head. Hallelujah. That was amazing. See, the enemy was trying to steal from her work and money in her business, prosperity and abundance through her business. And she was resisting that. The word said, "By his stripes we are healed." She was submitting to that, submitting to other verses in the word. Zan and Nunsy were both being proactive, being really positive, speaking out the word and submitting to those truths. And we saw healing in a supernatural time. Truly wonderful to see. We saw the enemy flee, healing made manifest in a supernatural time, and Zan able to use her arms, go back to work, and see that blessings keep flowing. What was the key in this example? Well, you could put it in a couple of ways. You could say real clear anger at the enemy, but what I saw was also a lack of passivity. You see, they could have said, oh well, got these broken arms, time will heal, they'll eventually get better, I'll just let nature take its course, I'll just sit in the corner while you other guys do the work, things will just take longer, there won't be as much business coming in, let's just go with the flow and these arms will get better. No! There was absolutely no passivity in this. There was action. There was submission to God. There was resistance to the enemy. With force, with violence. Like I said before, I came in on that Monday morning and the two of them were just so angry. And I just think the enemy couldn't handle that. I mean, I had to say, I would have not gotten their way that morning. Amen. Two angry women at the enemy, resisting and submitting to what God had for them, and the enemy fled. It was awesome. That, for me, is a great example of resisting the enemy, but it was also submission to God as well. Another example I want to tell you about, this time looks to be more about submission, but also is resisting at the same time. See, guys, we have to do both. That verse is quite clear. It says, submit to God, resist the devil. It's a two-pronged attack, and we need to debate. So, another example, more about submission. A couple of years ago, myself and Nunzi were hill walking up in the Cairngorms, and I'd picked this route to come back down off the sort of standard path. It was probably a mistake. It was a bit steep and a bit rocky, and Nunzi hurt her knee on the way down, and it's been a niggling issue off and on since then, but it's been getting worse recently, and it's causing real pain for Nancy, especially when she's seated or in bed, and the pain has been keeping her awake. But about a fortnight ago, Nancy said, right, that's it, enough is enough. And we've been studying healing through Caris, through their healing university, on a Thursday night, and we'd be getting some really good scriptures being taught to us. Nothing really new, but for whatever reason, these verses that Nunzi knew suddenly seemed to have a new meaning and put a new impact on our life. I'm talking about Isaiah 53:5 and 1 Peter 2:24. Let's just have a look at those while we're here. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Verses that we all know, we all love, verses that we've been quoting for years and years, but for whatever reason, Nunzi just thought, I'm going to start submitting to these verses, and I'm going to start sowing them in my heart again and again and again. And that's what she started doing, speaking them out to herself again and again and again, and believing what they were saying. And one night in bed, she said to me, look, I just want you to agree with me in prayer that these verses are true and that they're for me right now, while I'm sowing them, while I'm submitting to them. I want you to pray in agreement. You know, that on that cross Jesus dealt with all this pain, and that in my spirit I'm completely healed. And now what was required was to get that healing from Nunzi's spirit out into her body. So I did. And every time she felt pain, she started speaking out the scriptures, by his stripes I am healed. I have this healing already. I am not sick. I am the healed with the sickness trying to come upon me, and I resist to that sickness, that pain, and I submit to what the Word of God says. And she started doing that, and the pain's going away. The pain has gone away. See, now she is resisting the devil. Now she is submitting to God with violence, with force, not with passivity, well, oh, I'll just put my cool pad on my knee and it'll be better and I'll get to sleep. You know, I'll just get by. No, James 4:7 is not about getting by. James 4:7 is about getting rid of pain, getting rid of sickness, getting rid of poverty, getting rid of lack. It's getting rid of the enemy. That's what James 4:7 is about. And to get that things of the kingdom that is rightly ours, we need to resist it with force and submit with force. And in those two examples, that's what I've seen Zan and Nunzi doing. Wonderful examples. Now, what would have happened if they'd not submitted to God, not resisted with force? Well, they'd still be in pain, wouldn't they? Let me tell you what else Nunzi and Zan were doing in those instances. Go with me to Romans 8:6. And that says, this is a very, very important verse as well. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, in this instance, death can mean literal death, but it can also mean death as in not having the blessings that the Lord has provided. It can mean sickness, it can mean lack, it can mean depression. That's what carnally minded means, death. Spiritually minded, life and peace. Life in abundance and peace in that life. Awesome. That's a very, very clear, clear verse. Nunzi and Zan were spiritually minded. They spoke out the word, they believed the word, and they acted accordingly. And what was the result? Life. They didn't focus on the carnal. They didn't focus on the flesh. They didn't focus on the pain that would have resulted in feeling more pain. But they were spiritually minded, not carnally minded. And the enemy fled. See, being spiritually minded is submitting to God, resisting the devil. But being carnally minded is not resisting and not submitting. What would have happened if they'd been carnally minded? They'd have stayed in pain. The healing might have come naturally, but it would take an awful lot longer. Or they might still be in pain. In other words, they would have let the enemy win. And I say that deliberately. Let the enemy win. See, he can only win and steal from us if we let him. We have the power, we have the authority, we have the grace to resist the enemy, to submit to God. That's what we saw in verse 6 last week. We have the power and the ability to live out James 4 verse 7. It wouldn't be in there if we couldn't do it, and God has given us the grace to do it. Grace out of humility to do it. Go back to John. One of my favourite verses. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, as Jesus Christ is talking here, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Amen. Hallelujah. A verse telling us what Jesus and the enemy are about, what Jesus and the enemy will do, what they're up to, what their reason for being here is. Jesus came to bring life and life in abundance, and the enemy is trying to stop that. There is a battle going on, and we are right in the middle of that battle. Hallelujah. Sorry, I thought I'd missed out some buses there. I'm just gonna go back. Yeah, we are right in the middle of that battle. The enemy is here to steal and to kill and to destroy. The enemy can only steal. Listen to this very carefully. The enemy can only steal what you already possess. He can only kill what is alive, and he can only destroy what already exists in your life. That is so good, I'm going to say that again. The enemy can only steal what you already possess. He can only kill what is alive. And he can only destroy what already exists in your life. 3 John 2. I used that verse a few times already in this series. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. That is what the enemy is trying to steal from you, health and prosperity. He has provided that for you. If you're working, thinking spiritually, talking spiritually, believing spiritually, you will understand that verse and know that health and prosperity is for you and that you can possess that. And that's what the enemy is trying to steal. That's what he was trying to steal from Zan with those broken arms, trying to steal the blessings from her business. He was trying to steal that health from Nunzi in her knee. We already have these things. That is what we need to really get in our mind. And that will help us to submit to God and resist the enemy. If we know he has already provided all these things for us and that the enemy is trying to take them from us. See, I've said this a few times. We need to have a mindset change, guys. If we are feeling pain or if we have disease in our bodies, we are not the sick trying to be healed. We are the healed with sickness trying to come upon us. The enemy is trying to steal our health. The enemy is trying to steal our prosperity, our abundance, our joy, our peace, our acceptance. We need to constantly focus on these great things in Scripture that we already have and realize that the enemy is trying to steal them from us. He can only steal what we already have. He can only kill what is already alive, and he can only destroy what exists. You already have health in your born-again spirit, all you will need. By his stripes you are healed. You have already been healed. You are not the sick needing to be healed. He's trying to steal that from you. You are the prosperous. Jesus came to bring you life and life in abundance. Jesus died. Jesus became poor so you might become rich. He wants above all things for you to live in prosperity. You have prosperity. The enemy is trying to steal that from you and let you live in lack and want and need. Oh, hallelujah. Sorry, I went off on one there. Amen. There's a battle going on and we're in the middle of that battle. The enemy is desperately trying to steal what we already have through the finished work of Jesus Christ. But we have more than enough power, more than enough firepower in this battle. Romans 8:37 says we are more than conquerors. Guys, we can and we should submit to God, but it's a choice. And we can and should resist the enemy. And that's also a choice. But these choices need to come out of knowledge about who God is and what he's done for us through Jesus Christ and what the enemy is trying to steal from us. It comes through the knowledge of knowing what we already have in Christ and realizing that the enemy is trying to steal that from us. And we need to be seizing back what Jesus has already provided for us. Seize that healing. Seize that prosperity. Seize that acceptance. Amen. Seize that wholeness. We can and should submit to God. We can and should resist the enemy. But we have to be active. We have to be assertive. And we have to be forceful. Yeah, if you want to use that phrase, we need to be violent. Violent against the enemy. Violent in submitting to the word of God. Be forceful. Seize the word. Eat it. Devour it. Understand it. And be forceful in resisting the rubbish that is coming from the enemy. Amen. We have to know, believe, and understand our word. James 4, verse 7. Very important verse. Very relevant verse. In the world we live in today, where the enemy, let's be honest, the enemy is active. But he's not a winner, he's a loser. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We have more than enough firepower to defeat the enemy. With humility, we can accept that grace from the Lord. We have the power and the ability to submit to God and resist the enemy. And he will flee. We can live out James 4 verse 7 if we really want to. Amen. Hallelujah.